talk a little bit about, I figure I'd do a topic related to Tisha B'Av, or perhaps the Geula from Tisha B'Av that comes up in our Masechta. It begins with the Gemara and Rashana Daf Yud Amud Beis to Yud Alef Amud Beis, which talks about the famous machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua when the world was created, Tishrei versus Nisan, and when the world will be redeemed, when that will be in Tishrei, will that be in Nisan? That's the machlokas. So Rabbi Eliezer holds that the Geula is going to take place in Tishrei, and Rabbi Yeshua holds it's going to take place in Nisan. So which day of Tishrei, which day of Nisan is this going to take place? So if, you know, if someone had asked me, I would have just assumed sometime in Nisan, sometime in Tishrei. That would have been my first thought. But the Achronim point out, based on the sources of how they know it's Nisan versus Tishrei, it seems to point to the direction that there's a specific day in Tishrei and a specific day in Nisan in which the Mashiach is going to come. So Rabbi Yeshua says, how do I know that Nisan is going to be the day in which the world will be redeemed, that Am Yisrael will be redeemed, there'll be a Geula? So he says, how do I know it's going to be in Tishrei first? That's, again, Rabbi Eliezer first. Because it says in the Pasuk, Shofar, Shofar, it says, Tiku b'chov the Shofar, that's Rosh Hashanah. And it says, B'yom ha'hu yitaka b'shofar gadol, on the day of the arrival of Mashiach, there's going to be a great Shofar blast, a Shofar gadol. So the Gzer Shofar, Shofar indicates that Mashiach is going to arrive on Rosh Hashanah. Rabbi Yeshua says, how do I know Nisan, B'Nisan Nigalu? Because it says in the Pasuk, Leil Shimurim, Leil Seder is Leil Shimurim, which is meant that it's a night of protection from Mazikin. That's why the custom is not to say Hamapil and other Psukim, Kriyashma, the night of Seder. It's Leil Shimurim. But the drasha here is, it's Leil Meshumar that has been preserved and reserved from the Sheshis Mebracious, from the beginning of time. Why was it reserved? It was reserved to the day, the night, that Mashiach will arrive. So based on the sources of Tishrei versus Nisan, it seems to indicate it's not just any day in Tishrei, it's Dafka Rosh Hashanah, and so too it's Dafka Leil Pesach. That's when Mashiach is going to come. So there's a different Gemara, however, in Erevin, which you hopefully got a chance to see, which is talking about a person makes takes a Naziris upon himself. Nazir and Nidarm, these are two Masechtas that are not so relevant, but they're Masechtas that you can learn a lot from, because you can make a Nazir and Nedir dependent on anything, so they're always good nafkaminas to learn some wild things from them. So a person takes a Nazir that I'm going to be Nazir the day that Mashiach Ben David comes. So if Mashiach could come today, today is Wednesday, Yom Ravi, he could come today. So I shouldn't drink because maybe he came, I don't know about it yet. Maybe he's going to come. But the Gemara says that it's mutter to drink on Shabbos and Yom Tov. That's allowed. But you can't drink during the week, because any day of the week, Mashiach could really come. But in Shabbos, Mashiach won't come. And the Gemara goes back and forth, why can he come? So the context of the sugya is talking about Tchum. Whether it's Tchum Lamala or not, because Eliyahu is going to come from Lamala somehow. So the Gemara says, because we have a Mesora, a Haftacha, the muftach lehen li Yisrael she'ein Eliyahu ba lo barvi shabbosos v'lo barvi yomim tovim mipnei atarech. We're so involved in hachana of Shabbos, hachana of Yantif, so Eliyahu is not going to come and interrupt our preparations. We're busy making the chuln, making the kugel, baking the challah, and everything like that. Eliyahu is not going to interrupt everything. So therefore, if Eliyahu didn't come on Friday, that means Mashiach can't come on Shabbos, because Eliyahu always comes apparently a day before Mashiach. We know he comes before Mashiach to make the announcement, but it seems to be a day before Mashiach. So if Eliyahu can't come on Friday or Yantif, that means Mashiach can't come on Shabbos, nor can he come on Yantif itself. So there's a beautiful, interesting ma'isa that the Minchas Elazar, I was zocheh to be by his kever, was it last, 2 years ago? I think last year. I was zocheh to be by his kever. So he has a ma'isa that's from the Belzer Rebbe that we spoke about, the Shiva Samayim, how chashuv the Shiva Samayim was for Leil, for making matzahs, Samayim Shalanu. So they were once drawing water, so they would draw the water the night before Pesach. I mean, Leil Yudalad, they would draw it. So they'd bake Erev Pesach matzahs. And then after the drawing of the water, they knew this year they weren't zocha to have a Karim Pesach, they weren't zocha for Beis HaMikdash. So they all gave each other a bracha that we should be zocha next year, b'shana haba Yishalayim. So at that moment, the Rebbe said, why are you saying next year? Lama dafka shana haba. What about this year? There's still time. So then he says, if you're going to tell me, well, we know Mashiach to ready Erev Pesach. So we know that Eliyahu doesn't come on Erev Yontif, because the Gemara in Erevin says he won't come Erev Yontif, so it's too late. It's too late for him to come. So that's why you're going to say he can't come in this year anymore. He says, don't worry about it, because that Gemara's got a lot of kashas anyways on it. So I don't know how to answer that kasha. I don't know how to answer the kasha I'm raising. How it deals with, how do you reconcile this with the Gemara in Erevin? I don't know. But I have emuna that whenever Eliyahu comes, he's going to answer all the kashas we have, and I answer my kasha as well, that I think he could still come Erev Yontif, even though the Gemara says he can't come Erev Yontif. What's the answer? I don't know. But that's the emuna he had. So the Minchas Alazar said, well, if the tzaddik said such a thing, there must be an explanation. How do you read the Gemara? It can't just be with emuna and bitachon that it's going to be true. There must be an explanation. So he says that the explanation is as follows. He says there are two Gemaras, the two Gemaras that we presented, about when Mashiach and Eliyahu are going to come. So although the Gemara in Erevin says Eliyahu will not come Erev Yontif, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, our Gemara, sounds like he will come on Erev Yontif, because by the very fact that Mashiach will come on either Rosh Hashanah or on Pesach, that means Eliyahu will come Erev that day. He'll come on Erev Pesach. He'll come Erev Rosh Hashanah, and therefore it's plausible that Eliyahu Navi will come in Erev Yontif. So this machlokas is a steer in the two different Gemaras. And so the Minchas Halavos says that the Rebbe Paskin, like one Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, that he will arrive Erev Pesach, he will arrive Erev Rosh Hashanah, and against the Gemara in Erevin that says he will not come on an Erev Yontif. So that's the teret of the Minchas Halavos. The two Evan, we give three answers here. We'll work with it. Probably be a shorter shir, but we'll give a total of three answers to deal with this kasha of the Gemaras. So the Turi Evin, it's a very long shukah. I don't know if anyone saw this inside, but it's a very long Turi Evin. Be'arichas, I just cut out the ones that were nogeya to us, the answers. But the Turi Evin says, I'll tell you as follows. He says, there is no steer between the Gemaras. He says, yeah, inechanami, that Eliyahu will not come Erev Yontif, he won't come Erev Shabbos, but when the Gemara says that Eliyahu will come on Rosh Hashanah, he'll come on Nisan Pesach, it doesn't mean he's coming dafka on Pesach. Yeah, granted, the limud was Leo Shimurim. Granted, the limud was from Shofar. But it wasn't to say that he's dafka coming on Rosh Hashanah, he's dafka coming on Pesach. It's lav dafka. It's coming sometime near Rosh Hashanah. Sometime near Pesach time, it's lav dafka. But he won't come Erev Yontif. Eliyahu will not come Erev Yontif, and Mashiach will not come on Shabbos or on Yontif. It's going to come in the vicinity of that month, sometime in Nisan, sometime in Tishrei. In this way, it does not. There's no steer between the Gemara in Erevin and the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. This doesn't answer the Minchas Alazar's question, but does answer the steer in the different Gemaras. Now, the Chassam Sofer, it's hard to see out of context what he meant, but the Chassam Sofer was similar to, he's somewhere in the middle with the Turi Evin, that the Rosh Hashanah and Pesach are lav dafka. He says that when it comes to Shitas Rabbi Yeshua, who says Leil Shimurim, he says Leil Shimurim, that cannot be dafka Leil Shimurim. He brings their eye from Moshe Rabbeinu, who didn't come Leil Shimurim, but yet called it Leil Shimurim. So Leil Shimurim certainly does not mean Leil Shimurim dafka. So Nisan, but Nisan Nigalu, that means any time of Nisan. But he felt that according to Rabbi Eliezer, who learned the drasha shofar Rosh Hashanah, it's Gezer Shava, that does mean dafka Rosh Hashanah. So Chassam Sofer says somehow a split here, that Nisan Leil Shimurim is lav dafka, but Rosh Hashanah is dafka. And then there's a third answer of the Turi Evin, which I think is I don't know, it's the nicest, the best. Now, there are always answers that you like, and answers, some are technical answers, some are answers that are more geschmack. Just because they're geschmack doesn't mean they're more right, but something we could really take away more so than the other answers that we were offered. Because one is, you know, whenever there's a stira, okay, we pass like one, we don't pass like the other one, or you lav dafka, the other one is not as exciting. As opposed to if you could say elu ve'elu, divla kimchaim, that they're both true, that's always the best answer. Tiv machria, you know, when you have a din Torah, two people fighting, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says it's always best to make a pshara, to have a compromise. That's always the best. This way they're both right. They say that one's right, that one's wrong, so it might be true, but to be able to compromise, that's always the best. So if you could say they're both true somehow, that seems to be a better approach. So how are they both true? So the Tur Evin says, because there are really two ways, there are two minei kitzin, there are two ways of the ketz HaMashiach coming. Two avenues of the B'yas ben David, Mashiach ben David, and that's based on the Gemara Sanhedrin. It says in the Pasuk in Yeshaya, Be'ito Achishena. That there's Be'ito Achishena. Be'ito means be'es, and it's time. Achishena means quicker, faster than it would have otherwise come. And so the Gemara says, if Zachu, if there's Zoche, they merit Mashiach coming, they do the right thing, they're increasing their learning, increasing their davening, increasing their chesed and staka, so then Vachishana, it's going to come quicker, Mashiach and Eliyahu will come quicker. But lo Zachu, if they're not Zoche, if they're not doing the right thing, and we're continuing to sin, so then Bito, it's going to be a certain time where just the world will end, or Mashiach will just come and just put a stop to everything. So he says that that's what the different sugyas are about. When it comes to Be'ito, it's going to come in the right time. That right time after 6,000 years, 6,000 years is when it's going to end, based on another Gemara Rosh Hashanah. That's going to be either on Rosh Hashanah, Tishrei, or on Pesach, Nisan, Machlokis, depending when the world was created. That's when the 6,000 years will expire, and that will fall out on either Rosh Hashanah or Pesach, respectively. That's Be'ito, if it comes on time. But then there's another avenue in which it could come, that Mashiach and the Gula could come, and that's Vachishana if we earn it. And that's what the Gemara in Ervin's talking about, that it could really come in any single day. Shabbos and Yom Tov could come any single day. Now, even on those instances, Eliyahu will not come on Shabbos and Yom Tov, will come any day during the week, but it won't come on Shabbos and Yom Tov, because Eliyahu is not going to be Matriach. Not going to be matriach the preparation of the Suda, but it could come on any other day of the week, any time during the year, if we really warrant it. So again, just to be clear, when the Gemara says Rosh Hashanah is going to come, the Mashiach will come on Pesach or Rosh Hashanah, that's Be'ito, when everything expires, and he will come, Eliyahu will then come on Erev Yom Tov as well to announce the coming. But if it comes Vachishana, if it comes quicker, so it's going to come any time during the year, not Nisan, not Tishrei, it could come in Teves, it could come in Av, come in Tammuz. But the one qualification is, he won't come in Mashiach, because Eliyahu can't come on Erev Shabbos or Erev Yom Tov. That's what comes out from this. Two different approaches, two different avenues of the arrival of the Gula. So, this idea of Be'ito Be'achishenu is not a chiddush of the Tur Evin, this is the Gemara says, the two avenues. He just applies it to dealing with the Stira. So you have different Mefarshim explaining the different avenues. One's found in the Crazy Placey. Crazy, who knows who wrote the Crazy Placey? Yeah, Mr. Ibsen wrote it, Crazy Placey. And he writes in the Crazy Placey that Rabbi Yosef Ibsen was obviously a great tzaddik, a goan awesome. I ever share a story with you about walking with the emperor? So he's very close with the emperor. And because Rabbi Yosef Ibshitz was a genius. He knew Torah, he knew math, history, science, everything. Astrology, probably, who knows what. So Rabbi Yosef Ibshitz and the emperor would oftentimes go for walks in the garden, the palace, and they'd talk about whatever was on their mind. So one day, the emperor turns to Rabbi Yosef Ibshitz and asks him, are you allowed to give a goy a bracha? Can I give a goy a bracha? So there's a whole sugi whether you could give a goy a bracha or not. There's a Gemara about the Zara Daf Chav Zayin that says the pasuk Lo Sechanim has three drushes. Lo Sechanim. Lo Sechanim means you can't give a free gift to a guy, you can't sell property in Eretz Yisrael, and you can't compliment a guy. You can't say LeBron James is a great ball player. It's a violation of praising a guy. You can't praise a guy, you can't sell him kark in Eretz Yisrael, and nor can you give a free gift. So let's say you're in a pizza store, you have an extra slice, you order a pie, you only need seven slices, and you see a family next to you. If it's a guy, you can't give them a slice of pizza. That's a free gift. The only time you're allowed to is if you have a relationship with them. So they actually brought down in Shulchan Aruch, let's say you're sitting at a Suda, you're sitting at a meal, and there's a non-Jew that's there. Same meal as you. And it comes time to bench. So the Magen Avraham says you have to change the nusach, because you normally say, you know, you want to give bracha to kol mesumen kan, but to include the guy, to include the guy, you're giving bracha to a guy. So Magen Avraham says that's a violation of Lo Sechanim, giving a free bracha to the guy. So he says you can't do that. You have to change the nusach to Chol B'nei Bris here. It's a violation to give a bracha to a goy. So this is the question that the emperor asked of Yonas Aipshus. Now the answer is, you can give a bracha to a goy if there's a relationship. Like, you could give a tip to your mailman at the end of the year, because it's a service he pays. You don't have to give a tip, you chose to. Ah, that's a gift. It's a gift because you have a relationship, it's part of the service. You could tip a waiter, even though he might be a goy, because that's part of the service. But to give a free gift to a random person, that's where the violation is there. So, Yonas Aipshitz says, yeah, of course I could give a bracha. Now, he assumed he was talking about the emperor. That relationship, certainly Darche Shalom, you could give a bracha. I had a Maisa once myself, that I was, I go out to eat with friends of mine once in a while. So they take me out to like some fancy restaurants. So there's a place in the city, it's probably not around anymore because of Corona. All these restaurants just closed down. A place called Barnea. Barnea is the name of a city. It comes up in the Parsha, Matas Masei mentions Barnea, one of the places they pass through. It's called Barnea. So I went to the place with my friends. And when I got there, I saw one of the old Kollel guys, not here with us this year, but Jeremy Packer was with us in the Kollel in the past. I think he's following along the stream online, though. But so his father, Paul Packer, is a big he's a big honcho in the Trump administration. He's in charge of, you know, watching over spiritual places in the world and preserving, you know, cemeteries and whatnot. So he's very close with the government of Morocco. Buchatzeres are buried there. Chashiv Tzadik and Mukubalim are buried in Morocco. So anyway, so I get to the restaurant and I see Paul Packer there. He's sitting with a few people who, none of them look Jewish at all, a couple of ladies, and there's a very big man, big and strong, who's built like a tight end. He's wearing a very short, like black, tight-fit shirt. The tattoo is going the whole way down the arm. That was his meal in Barnea. So he comes over to me, we're schmoozing, we know each other, and he tells me that this guy, you know, see the guy behind me, that guy with the tattoos? That guy is the like head of the chief of staff or something into the Prince of Morocco. So he said he loves Jews. He loves them, you know, really. He takes, because he thinks that when all the other governments, the Muslim governments are falling apart, Morocco is able to stay strong. And they attribute it to because they show chashivas to all the kibbutz tzaddikim in Morocco. So the imam show, they roll the red carpet. Whenever you want to come to Morocco, let me know. I'll take care of you. So I'm still waiting for that invitation, but I don't know if I want to go now. So anyway, so Paul's talking to me. Then the guy, the big guy, comes up, walks over to me. You get huge. I went to the Nets. You know, my father is a doctor, so before the lawyers made these rules about no giving tickets to doctors anymore, it used to be allowed. You could give pharmaceutical companies give like tickets. So he had we used to get tickets to the Nets all the time. So a number of years ago, before I was married, 20 years ago, so I went to the Nets, played against the Lakers in Game 4. Lakers up 3-0. It was in the Meadowlands when Meadowlands was still around. And so I went to Game 4. I sat 10 rows up from the court side behind the net. And the Lakers won. They swept. So it was a final Game 4. So I was there for like the celebrations. They put a rope around the court so no one comes on. So I was standing right near the rope with a friend of mine. And Shaquille O'Neal was still in the Lakers at the time. So Shaq comes over to our side to like, call one of his Javerman. The guy was massive, like 7'2 and 350 pounds, whatever his weight is. So this guy was like a Shaquille O'Neal. I'm telling you, huge, huge. Comes over to me and he puts his hand out and shakes my hand, like a bone-crushing handshake. And like stares at me in the eye and he says, will you give me a blessing? So I knew the sugi a little bit, that you're not supposed to give a bracha to the guy, but I was so nervous for so many reasons. like he could like choke me, who knows, or... And should I not? So as I'm just like trying to like think quickly what I should be doing, he saw my hesitation. He says, okay, I'm Muslim, you're Jewish. There are not so many differences. We love the Jews there. He says, you know what? My mom is a Kohen. I said, oh, so maybe you should give me a blessing. So he didn't really find that very funny. I don't know if he understood what I was trying to say. Anyway, so I gave him like some whatever bracha was. He should continue to help the Jews and the country should be safe. So I think it works. So the Indian is saying a bracha. So it comes to Darche Shalom, Shalom Malchus, when it comes to, there's a relationship, you could give a bracha to a guy. So back to the story of Yonas Aipshitz. So the emperor says, yeah, so I'm still holding the whole trail, I think. So Yonas Aipshitz says to the emperor, of course you give a bracha to a non-Jew. So the emperor turns and points to a statue of Yashka. He says, okay, could you give Yashka a bracha? He says, I would, but you have to know the father's name in order to give a bracha. So he couldn't give the bracha to the Yashka. So anyways, that's Rabbi Yonatan Eibshitz was a very quick thinker, sharp mind. So the crazy place is a very important sefer for those learning Yerideya. It's on Yerideya topics. And at the very end of the sefer, he writes, let me speak about some Divrei Agada, something about Gula, something positive. So he talks about this Indian of Mashiach coming and Eliyahu coming. So he says that there's a Rambam Paskins in Hilchos Malachim that it's not necessary that Eliyahu has to precede Mashiach's arrival. Not true. It doesn't have to be. Mashiach could come with that. Now that's very problematic because we have a number of Gemaras and Pesukim that indicate that Eliyahu will announce the coming of Mashiach. So how could the Rambam say he's not going to come? So he says, because the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, Be'ita Achishana, there are two tracks in which Mashiach could come. There's Be'ita and there's Achishana. So he says, if he's going to come, Be'ita in the right time, Mashiach will come in the right time. So then there's a certain process, there's steps, there's a Seder. So in that Seder, Eliyahu is going to come first, announce the arrival, and then Mashiach is going to come. It's going to be very systematic, very scientific. But the crazy place, he says, if we're going to be Zoche, we're going to warrant Mashiach's arrival earlier than expected, so then something interesting is going to happen. He said, Im Zochu, Shiyimaher v'yachish Gula, we're going to hasten the arrival of Mashiach the Gula, that Mashiach's going to be so excited, he's going to like rip through like the, you know, all the red tape, and Medaleg al Haharim, Mekafet al Hagvos, he's going to jump over mountains and valleys, and the Shalom says, Seder is going to change around the whole Seder, and the Avashah Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to come, he's going to completely circumvent and not wait for Eliyahu Navi. So when the Rambam says Eliyahu Navi is not going to come, it's when it comes b'achishena, when we deserve it and earn it, Mashiach can come immediately without waiting even a moment. That's the difference, this is a crazy place here, between be'ita b'achishena, whether or not Mashiach will be preceded by Eliyahu Navi. So the Shibbol Leket writes that interesting pshat, there's a machlok is what bracha to say in Leil Pesach. And what the bracha of Ga'alnu, V'Galas, of Aseinu V'Mitzrayim. So Rabbi Kiva has a lashon, he says, he adds in the words, Hashem Elokeinu Yigi'enu L'mo'adim L'rgalim Habarim L'karseinu L'shalom. And the pashat pshat of that bracha means that Mashiach, okay, he didn't come this Pesach, this Leil Pesach, but he'll come in the next regal, the next Moed, he'll come Shavuos, he'll come Sukkot, he'll come some other time. So Shmuel Leket says, how could that be? We know he's only coming in Nisan. How could you suggest he's coming Shavuos time, Sukkot time? So he says, no, what it means is, we'll be Zocha to fulfill those Yamin Tovim B'Shas Gula. But the Gula in Achnami, the Gula is only coming in Nisan. That's how Shmuel Leket understands it. But if you now understand that there are really two tracks, the Gemara itself says, the Turi Evin explained that, the crazy place explained that. So no, this bracha is saying we could still be zocha that the gula coming, Shavuos time, Sukkot time, or any other day of the year, if we're zocha b'achishena. So it's a very different pshat of this bracha. It's not so problematic as long as you continue to understand that there are two tracks coming. There's the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, that's only Rosh Hashanah and only Pesach, or the Gemara Erevin, that he could come any day of the year except for an Erev Shabbos and an Erev Yom. No, because his point was, when it says, Yigi'enul Mo'adim, we should be zoch to have him come on the Moed, it sounds like very specific to a Yontif. So now, in this talk of Eliyahu Mashiach, the Eliyahu, the Mashiach, so there's an interesting Yerushalmi, there's also a parallel Gemara in Babli, which is a bit different, but the Yerushalmi wants to know, who is the Mashiach, what's his name? One says his name is Tzemach, one says his name is Menachem. And the Yerushalmi points out that the birth of Mashiach takes place, or took place, hopefully, on the day of the destruction of Beis HaMikdash, which is, of course, tonight and tomorrow, Tisha B'Av. So while the Yerushalmi talks about the names of Mashiach being Menachem and Tzemach, the Gemara in Bavli, Sanhedrin, Sadi Ches Mebeis, has a much longer list of possible names of Mashiach. And there the Gemara says, and just pay attention to who's making the suggestion and to the name that's being suggested. So asks the Gemara, Mashimo, what's the name of Mashiach? Debe Rabbi Shila Amar, Shilo is Shimo. Shila suggests the name Shilo, based on the Pasuk Ad Kiyavo Shilo. Debe Rabbi Yanai, Yanai says the name is Yonan. Yishmo Liyalam Lefanei Shemesh Yonan Shimo. So one of the first, maybe even the first Torah of the Menachman talks about this Pasuk, Yonan is Mashiach, in the name of Malchus. Comes along the Bay Rabbi Chananya, the base manager of Rabbi Chanina says, Chanina Shimon, the name is Chanina. And then there's some hold, it's Menachem Ben Chizkiah. And there's a fascinating suggestion, the Rabbanan say, Amri Chivara, which is a Mitzorah. It's a Mitzorah, that Mashiach's Mitzorah, which is a whole other Indian, that he's a Mitzorah. So either way, you see that the Gemara in Bavli suggests that the names, the base managers of each Tzaddik said that their Tzaddik, their Rebbe, was the Mashiach, had the name of Mashiach. Again, Shila, the Bay Medrash of Rebbe Shila said the name was Shiloh, Bay Yanai says it was Yonun, and Rebbe Chanina says it was Chanina. And they all brought Psukim. I think part of the lesson, the message, is that there's a Mashiach Klali and there's a Mashiach Prati. Klal and Prat, we spoke, and everything, there's always Klal and Prat. There's the Mashiach, and then there's a personal Mashiach. Every person is their own Mashiach. You're the key to your own redemption. Whatever struggle a person goes through, Tisha B'Av is about commemorating the global destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and then the small destructions of people's lives, of communities, of individuals, of families. And the only way out is really a person's self, himself, the Mashiach that's within them. That's what they're Yonun, Chanina, and so on. It's similar to Eliyahu Navi as well. Did I ever share with you one of my favorite Trumas Hadeshens about Eliyahu Navi? So the Trumas Hadeshen, he was one of the earliest Achronim, late Rishonim. Ramah oftentimes quotes from the Trumas Hadeshen. You'll find them quoted oftentimes in the Ramah, in Shulchan Aruch. And he was a posek. He wrote a sefer in halacha. It's called Trumas Hadeshen, because Deshen is Gematria 354, the 354 Simanim in the Tshuvos. So the Trumas Hadeshen, he writes, he's a Shaila. He wrote, supposedly he wrote the own Shaila. He wasn't sent Shailas in, but he wrote the own Shailas he thought of. So he asked the question, when Eliyahu Navi disappeared, he never died, he just disappeared, he vanished, what happened to his wife? His wife single now, there was no Misa, there's no death. So the mission, Kedushin tells us in Daf Beis that there are two ways a woman could be single. Either she's divorced or the husband dies. None of those happened with Mashiach, with Eliyahu rather. He didn't divorce her, nor did he die. So he has a whole Shakataya. How do you define Misa? Is Misa that there's a Maisa Misa? Or that it's a Totsah that there's no longer around? It's Ke'ilu, there's a Mace. So it's a Rav Chanan Wasserman quotes him also in Kovit Shirim, in the beginning of Kedushin. But in this conversation, he says, oh, why am I asking the question? My Dehava Hava, Eliyahu Navi disappeared centuries ago, 1,500 years at least before Trumas Hadeshen came around. So why am I asking this question? He said, because maybe someone else will be Zocha to be like Eliyahu Navi. Maybe you and I could become Eliyahu Navi and become whatever he became, a Malach, disappear, vanish, be something full of Kedusha, full of Ruchnia, full of Neshama, no Guf anymore. And if that happens, we have to address the question, what will be with that person's wife? Which means that Trumas Hadeshen, who was not a Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov, he wasn't a Mekubal, he was a Posek. He felt that this was a real possibility, that a person can become a Eliyahu Navi, the same level. Not to be there's only one Eliyahu Navi, but to have that same Madrega as Eliyahu Navi. He said, in fact, Bishur ben Levi in the Gemaras also had some level of Eliyahu. He disappeared in such a way. So this could really happen. What happens to that person's wife? That means each person has a certain level of Eliyahu Navi inside themselves. None of us will become the Eliyahu. That he already exists. There's no second Eliyahu Navi. But we could be the Bechina of Eliyahu Navi. We could be the Bechina Mashiach on our small scale. So I think that's really the lesson, that when a person goes through a struggle, and again, Tisha B'Av is about commemorating people's struggles in life, whatever their Nisayon is that we have the solution. What's the solution? Each person has their own problem, their own solution, but you have to realize that looking elsewhere is often not the answer. It's looking inside a person, because within his own neshama, to find his Mashiach, to find his Eliyahu Navi. And just to connect it to the parsha that the Ves Chanan, so we know that Chazal teach us that Moshe Rabbeinu davened 515 times, which is the gematria of Ves Chanan. That's the amount of times he davened they should enter into Eretz Yisrael. Pnei Shu and Brachos, I think it's Daf Lamed Hey, has a whole cheshbon. He started davening in Tubav. Why Tubav? Why did Moshe start davening Tubav to enter into Eretz Yisrael? Because what happened was from Chet Meraglim, so every single night when they go to sleep, each member of Klal Yisrael would dig a kever for themselves, hoping to wake up, and not everyone woke up every morning. Every night, they'd go to sleep, and every morning, people would not wake up. Those people would be buried, left to Mashiach. And then they'd move on. This would happen every single night until Tu B'Av came, everyone woke up that morning. So Moshe understood that everyone at that point is going to enter into Eretz Yisrael, except for him. So he saw that there was an opening, there's a Pesach for him to daven, maybe he'll also get access to enter into Eretz Yisrael. So he daven. So Pnei Shu has a whole cheshbon from Tu B'Av until Zayin Adar, not including Shabbos, because you can't make bakashas on Shabbos, there are 515 tefillas. Take a look there. You didn't include the Marv of Tu B'Av, it's only the morning, so it's only like two. It's three times every single day, but only two in Tu B'Av, and you have to skip 30-day, 29-months, 30-day, 29-day months. All that cheshbon is 515 times. See that? So that's 515, which is the gematria of Eschanan, which is the gematria of Tefillah, which is the gematria of Shira, because Tefillah itself is a Shira, it's a song. So that's what he davened. So I think it's the Sabra Rebbe made this incredible Ha'ara, more than just a Ha'ara, but the Gemara says in Pesachim, Daf Pei Ches, that when Avram saw the Har Bais, he saw it as a Har. When Yitzhak saw it, he saw it as a Lasuch Basada, as a Sada, and Yaakov saw it as a Bais. And he points out that the Gematria of Machane means an encampment. There's a Machane Shechina, Machane Levi, Machane Yisrael. They're different Madrigals. So there's a Machane of a Har, there's a Machane of a Sada, there's a Machane of a Bais. The mountain, the Sada, and there's a Bais on top. So Machane is 103. 103 times 2 is a Har Imakol, which is 206. So Har is 2 times Machane. And then Sada is 309, is 3 times Machane. Going up another Machane. And Bais is 412, which is 4 times Machane. So it's climbing up. Machane, Har, Sada, Bais. Happens to be that the gematria of Mashiach Makola plus Eliyahu Makola equals Bais as well. Because the combination of a Mashiach and Eliyahu coming together creates a bias, the Beis HaMikdash, but also creates a bias Neman, a person's own house. The solution to building a person's bias is really finding that Elio, finding that Mashiach within them. So that's why Elio Mashiach together, Imakolo, equals bias, 412. Moshe Rabbeinu took it to the next level, Beis Tefillah, he davened, he made the Beis HaMikdash into a Tefillah. The Tefillah, which is 515, we said, is 5 times Machzah. And one last one, the Chassam Sofer points out that Maras Machpelah, which is called the Sada, Stay Ephron, Shel Machpelah, it's a double Sada. So the Chassam Sofer points out in Parshas Chayisara that the Maras Machpelah is a reference, it's a remez to the Bai Shlishi, that's ultimately going to come. And he says, so Machpelah, Sada, if you double Sada, 309, doubled is 618, he says, which is Gmatria Cheris without the Yud, Cheris, Ches Resh Vav Tav. Because ultimately, which is 618, which is now 6 times 103. Because that's going to lead to the Cheres. This level of Machne, it's really standing on the shoulders of the Zechus Avos, of Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov, Moshe, Beinu, his Tefillah, all that together will combine to the Cheres, to the ultimate coming. So, I guess I'll give the bracha of the bells of Rebbe. Not that we should be Zocha next year, that Mashiach should come, we should be Zocha that this year. It's still Wednesday, so Erev Yontif, Erev Tishba, he certainly can come, according to all days, we should be Zocha. Through learning about the Gula, we should be zocha to experience the Gula, and there should be no Eicha tonight, and we should be singing the whatever Megillah we'll be reading in its stead. The Gula Shleima Ba'amitas Meher V'Ameinu, Amen V'Amen. Amen.